Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin. It's Tuesday night in Montgomery County. We're talking about the issues that emanate from the said county, Montgomery. Next to Prince George's, somewhere south of the Mason-Dixon line. But not quite south enough. This is Two-Way Talk Radio. The program is called Outside Looking In. As I said, my name is Bruce Negrin. So if you want to give me a call, I want to hear what you have to say. Our phone number is 773-897-6423. 773-897-6423. That's the way to get on the air. I also want to tell you the other ways. We just started an email today. It's brucenegrinradio@yahoo.com. So if you want to get in touch with me via send me some topics, something that you want to talk about, again, it's brucenegrinradio@yahoo.com. Or you can reach us on Facebook, the ubiquitous Facebook. The Facebook for all the 45-year-olds now, not the kids. I'm not going on Snapchat or Twitter. I don't even know what to write on Twitter anymore. 140 characters. I mean, talk about that's an attention deficit disorder. It used to be Facebook, but now it's Twitter. 140 characters to say, hey, I am stuck at the baggage claim. Getting coffee. You know, to try to be witty and pass the people get news off of Twitter. Oh, don't get me started. We talked about that last week. Anyway, what I was saying about the Facebook, the page is called Outside Looking In. You can look up Bruce Negrin or Outside Looking In, and most of the articles that I talk about on this particular program are posted on that Facebook page. This way you get my opinion, and you get the article, and you get to see who's BSing you. That's right. So once again, our phone number is 773-897-6423, 773-897-6423. So what's going on in Montgomery County? What's going on in the world? It's St. Patrick's Day. And you're talking to probably the most least Irish man there's ever been. I don't know anything about the Irish. I don't know anything about St. Patrick's Day. I was one of these guys who used to go to school in green, or who forget to wear green, actually. You know, nothing against anybody. Boy, I got more Irish friends than I know what to do with. Seriously. But, you know, it just never dawned on me. It came from a family that's Greek and Austrian. We don't have any parades for us. Actually, there are parades in New York. But they had the St. Patrick's Day parade, and it's just, it used to be, today I heard some things, I'm not in the city anymore, but it's some situation. They talk about Savannah having the biggest, or one of the best St. Patrick's Day parades. New York City, I've never seen the parade, to be honest with you, but I've seen the parade of fools and drunks trying to get up there. It's incredible. You get on the Metro North, or you get on the subway, and it's, you know, everybody's going to work. Because, what's today? Tuesday, right? Today's a work day. You're on the subway, and you just got that one guy from the back from New Jersey. He's like, woo! St. Patrick's Day! Woo! Kidding me? Shut up. Shut up over there. But, yeah, so I didn't get to feel any of it today. In Gaithersburg, Saturday, had that rainstorm come through. So the Gaithersburg St. Patrick's Day was cut off and stopped. And then they didn't reschedule that. That's a lot of, right? That says a lot about your holiday if they don't reschedule something. And then what else happened today? There was nothing. I was stuck in the house. Stuck in the house. You know what I was doing today? I was in a cat and mouse battle with a squirrel. I put out a bird feeder. And finally, I mean, I had him last year. Squirrel chewed it down. Oh, made me mad. But this year I got a new bird feeder. It's a nice one. Because I have two birds in my backyard. I have a cardinal and a blue jay. When you get birds of color, you want to treat them well, especially during the winter. Because, boy, those two stuck out against the white snow. You know how much snow we had, so had to give them their food. We got sparrows and other things with red heads, and it's crazy. It really is crazy. I mean, the bird watching is great. So this damn squirrel, and yeah, I use the word damn, I'm not going to lie to you. This squirrel comes up and he's trying to eat stuff. And you know me, anybody who knows me knows how stubborn I can be myself. I mean, I could get mad, very mad. So I go out there And I taught my kids, like myself, how to bark like a dog. Like, woof, woof, woof. So he runs away. 5 minutes later, he's back. The birds come. Then he chases the cardinal away. And that upset me. You can't chase my cardinal away. So I go back out there. And I yell at him again. And he comes back. So what do I start doing? I start getting cups of water, sneaking around the corner, come out to my deck, sneak around the corner, and try to throw it at him. But he's too quick. So what do I do afterwards? I go to the sink. We have a window by the sink. I get the sprayer, open up the window, stealth-like. I'm creeping. The guy comes back. I got him there. And got him with all the water. It was awesome. He was like, ah! He ran away. Score one for the fat man. That's right. Score one for the fat man. So that squirrel will be coming back tomorrow. You think you win, and you're not going to win. It's a squirrel. Things that are inevitable. Squirrels, taxes, death. Exactly. So I understand we got a caller on the line. Let's get right to the caller. I think I know who this is.
Hello.
Caller, welcome to you. How you doing?
Hello.
It's
yes,
Freddy
Fazbear. This is Freddy Fazbear.
Freddy, what do you want to talk about, Freddy?
Today I want to introduce myself on this show.
Well, Freddy, thank you for
Hello,
calling.
People.
What are you famous for? What are you?
I was asking if I could get the part on your show.
A part
if
on my show? I'm not so sure about that.
Okay, then. Does anyone here want to play guitar? I've got a guitar. I'm down in
the
basement.
I know who you are, and I know where you're at. This is the problem. Don't you have your own show? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ryan Negrin. He decided to call the program Ryan Negrin hosts the Ryan Negrin Radio Show.
Yep.
He hosts the Ryan Negrin Show on Fridays at 4:30. So if you ever want to see what my spawn sounds like, he can fill 45 minutes. 45 minutes. Well, Ryan, I appreciate you giving us a call. You want to say anything to your listeners? All right.
So, guys, if anyone of you listen to the Ryan Negrin Show, I play Fridays. Same phone number at 4:30 p.m. Okay, bye.
4:30. Take care, Ryan. Thanks for calling. So this is what happens, all right? And I'll tell you what happens. My wife is out. She's out with one of her friends. She's enjoying St. Patrick's Day. I'm home. I put the chicken in the oven. I'm like running the bachelor's life right now. I get phone calls from my brother, which was cool. I wanted to talk to him. But the chicken's taking longer to cook. The kids are up. They're supposed to be in bed by now, but I got the show to do. So they're downstairs. Everything that I loathe, they're doing right now. They're either watching YouTube and or playing the Wii U. But that's, guess what about that? You know, that finally I'm using it for me. Not for them, but for me. But they're downstairs, hopefully not beating each other up. Don't call child services on me. Just don't. But my wife is gone. What am I going to do? I got a radio show to do. I got to bring it to the people, and the people want to hear me. But Ryan knows the phone number. He knows the phone number off the top of his head, which is amazing. Because I was asking him last night. He goes, Dad, the phone number is 773-897-6423. I'm like, son of a, who the, what the? He had a good topic the other day. He was messing around a little bit, but he had a good topic the other day. He started talking about electric cars and how we need a little steeper tax breaks and a little more of fueling stations or recharging stations for them. The kid's smart. I like it. I like when he's talking. But it's funny, though. It's like I'm cooking for the kids, and on these nights, it's like you fall back. I've been married for 12 years. But you fall back into your bachelor ways. Sometimes, you know, it's like you go and cook something and then you throw something else. Like today, I made some spaghetti. I like spaghetti with butter and garlic. I was putting it on there. And I said, you know what? Then I tried it with some sauce. So I'm going to have spaghetti three different ways. So the third way, I'm like, let's experiment a little bit. Let's put some feta cheese in with the spaghetti and put it in the microwave, see what happens. Not bad. Not bad at all, I tell you. But no, when I was a bachelor, that's what I used to do, just mix different things together. I'd try to make my own Chinese food. My brother could tell you, because we used to live together. So I was like, Eric, I made this mush mush. It's supposed to be Chinese food, but it's just really rice with soy sauce and chicken. So it was funny. It was funny. But yeah, oh, my kids are trying to call into the show over and over again. That's why you have to call. Phone number is 773-897-6423. Anyway, what am I going to talk about? Let me tell you about something that's very interesting about the state of Maryland right now. Let's get into the issues. Let's break it down.
Break it down.
I get a letter in the from the government the other day. I opened and read it. It said I was a sucker. No. What it said was that I owed the state of Maryland, that I owed EasyPass $2.97 for running a toll, that my EasyPass didn't catch on, so that I was running a toll. They caught me on one of the video tolls. And I'm like, no way. I saw the date. I saw this. So I go on there to check the thing. First of all, you can't look at the pictures because the pictures are down for 3-4 days. You call up EasyPass. They're like, well, our system's down. We can't tell if it's your car or not. I look at it. It looks like an Acura. I like to pretend like I'm a rich guy, but I don't have an Acura. I got a Honda. The closest thing was a Honda. They got my license plate wrong. The license plate is wrong. They got my license plate, but the picture in there is wrong unless somebody's taken my license plates, which I don't think has happened because I have two of them. And it's a mistake. They made a mistake on this thing. So they're trying to bill me $2.97. And I'll tell you what's frustrating. Trying to, when you get worked up and then you try to call them and they're closed, you're like, ugh. But I finally, the pictures finally came up today, and it's an Acura. It's not my car. I wasn't in Baltimore County at this particular time. So I'm wondering what is going to have to happen here. I mean, because these pictures they say they have are not that clear. It's close. It could be RR instead of BB. The numbers are right, but it could be RR instead of BB. But they decided to get BB. But I'm going to tell them I don't even own the car. Go check my registrations if you want to do that. Because, I mean, it's not like it was just my EasyPass, which they're not judging off of your EasyPass. They're judging off of your license plate. So they sent it to me there, and I'm like, that's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Because, I mean, I will tell you, whatever you do, just don't be sheep. Open up your mail. Look at your credit card bills. Look at your EasyPass stuff. Look at all this stuff. Just don't pay it. Because a lot of times, it could be wrong. And you could contest these things, and it's worth contesting. When I lived in Brooklyn, New York, Brooklyn, USA, I went to traffic court about 3 or 4 times. Not traffic court, but like, yeah, I guess it's traffic court, but mostly for parking violation. And one of the funniest stories I've ever had comes out of this situation. I had the Mitsubishi go on. We parked it on the street. For some reason, they gave me a ticket. I'm not even sure. It might have been something with my registration, whatever. I don't even remember what it was. But I looked at the ticket, and I looked at the license plate number, and they wrote the right license plate number down wrong. They wrote my license plate number down wrong. You're always looking. It's like, okay, did they have it? Did they write? Did they sign their name? Blah, 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 blah. When you live in New York and you have a car, you understand what I'm talking about because the tickets fly out of the book over ad infinitum, and you're like, It's like a badge of honor to get a parking ticket in New York. Even after a while, you're like, this is just ridiculous. But anyway, I look at it, and they have the wrong number, the wrong license plate number. I'm like, I'm like, I can't wait to go to court. Can't wait to go to court. So I go down to John Street because you got to go into Manhattan to go to traffic court. I go in there, and I'm sitting around, you know, and I'm a salesman, so I can take some parts of my day. If you got to... To beat a $50 or $60 ticket to take your whole day, it's not worth it. But I worked just down the block, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go on lunch hour kind of thing. So I went there. They finally give me the trial. It's on my trial date. I'm waiting. I walk in there, a seeing eye dog, an assistant, and a blind judge. I was like, it took every fiber of my being not to start laughing. Justice is blind, right? It's come to life. It's come to life. Justice is blind. Unbelievable. So we go through the whole thing, and they, and I'm all for people with disabilities doing the job, but it just seemed like they had to have two people doing the job because of the disability. Because this guy, he was a judge, obviously. I got a law degree and et cetera. But they had to have the stenographer and the braille-nographer, whatever they call them. But the stenographer was taking the stuff in Braille also. So she had to cover everything that he was saying and give him stuff of what I was saying or reading or court records. the ticket, etc. So anyway, he looks at it. She looks at it and reads the number off to the license plate. I show him a picture of my license plate. And the guy's like, you're off on a technicality. How you doing? Bam. It was like a $75 ticket, too. But just the satisfaction of winning. Because you know they made a mistake. And take them. Go. Fight the power. I'm serious. Because the power isn't always right. The other thing to do, and this is a really funny story, too. It was an Olive Garden on 18th Street and 6th Avenue in Manhattan. I'm there with my mother-in-law, who was from out of town at that particular time, and my wife, or she was my girlfriend at the time, my fiance. So we're sitting there, go to Olive Garden, we get the soup and the salad, we get the whole nine, we get the some lunch, whatever. You know, our check's going to be $30, $40, you know, no big deal, understood. So we come back, us and the guy who just got the salad bar. The guy who just got the salad bar lays down his credit card, gives the thing, pays the check. I get the check, and I'm expecting the $30, $40 check. I have a $9.99 check. But the guy next to me's already left. He got my check. Schmucko didn't look at it. He just paid $40, $35, $40 for a salad bar. How do you not know? How do you not look? I mean, you wonder how people get robbed blind here. And this is how it happens. Because people aren't paying attention. People don't care. He was in no rush. There was no parade to get to. It wasn't St. Patrick's Day. It was just absolutely mind-boggling that this guy paid my $35 check and I paid his $9 check. I mean, it was just, what are you doing? Schmucko. Schmucko, are you in there? Come on. Come on. I mean, really, so what I'm saying there is open up your things because, you know, this is how people get robbed blind, too, on credit cards because they'll just go to the bottom and write the check to the American Express company or to Visa or to whoever. Go line by line. I feel like Clark Howard here giving you, you know, consumer advice. Go line by line. See if it's what you paid. See if someone's got your number. See if something's happening. I got my identity stolen once, and it took a little bit because for me to catch on because of a Target card. You know, I got a bill from Target, and I thought I was approved. So I opened it up. I put it there. I let it sit for a day or two. I opened it up, and I got an $800 bill from Target for a card I didn't get approved for or didn't apply to. And I thought it was my wife's. That was the problem was. But anyway, I opened it up, and I'm like, holy smokes. And then stuff starts coming in from Home Depot and Best Buy and everywhere. Good security services, by the way. No, really. Oh, you could just open up a credit card anywhere. Now, the Social Security, no, I have no idea how it happened either. Still don't. But I got locks on everything now, so that's a pain in the neck when you forget about it. But you got to open up this stuff, and you got to pay attention. Otherwise, they'll get you. They will get you. You know what I'm saying. It's just, and when you get beat, it stinks. It really stinks when you get beat like that. Oh, we talked about the easy pass and checking all of that stuff. Seriously, I mean, go out there and check it. One other thing I found today, we got at my job, we're getting new computers or we're getting a new server system. So we got people out there who don't really know what they're doing, trying to fix our computers. You know, I went 11 days without being able to get into my own computer for the VPN or whatever. And I figured this out too. If you want to have a productive business, if you want to keep people efficient, get them the fastest computers you can find. I keep saying this every time I'm in my hockey locker room playing H&A or something. I'm sitting with my team, the Badgers. And like, so who do we play next week? Oh, we play the Grizzlies, and then we play the, you know, the Admirals. And how do we do against them? Well, we lost 4-3, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, how do you know all this stuff? Were you a men's league nerd? And I'm like, no. My computer is so damn slow that I got to check other websites just so I don't go crazy. I've already read the New York Post and the Washington Post. Now I'm checking H&A websites, checking, you know, just nonsense stuff. If you want to keep people efficient, get them something fast. Get them something that works. I am Clark Howard. This is WSB 790, Atlanta, Georgia. No, it's not. This is Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin. I'm here most every Tuesday. I told you last week I took off, but we had the show on Wednesday. We had the after-school special last week. I went to see a country show, my first show at the Verizon Center. Now I'm part of the – I'm a D.C. guy. I'm a Maryland guy. I'm a DMV area townie now because I'm going to see concerts and shows. Went to see Eric Church, country guy, but he's got a rock edge to him. And I'm telling you, good stuff. If you get to see him, it's worth it. If someone gives you a free ticket and you're not into country and it says it's Eric Church, just go. Do it. Do it. Don't talk back to me. Just do it. Exactly. Exactly what I'm talking about.
Pay attention.
Our phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. And now the county business. Dateline, Montgomery County. Rockville. Ike Leggett holds line on county property taxes. But what for next year? So Ike Leggett came out, gave his budget. It's going to be a 1.4% increase in spending. He said he cut it as close to the bone as he could. He wanted to raise property taxes in Montgomery County. But to do that, to go over the tax cap and to raise property taxes, he's going to need a 9-0 majority vote from the city council, or the city council, the county council. And the county council, what was blowing in the wind was saying that he wasn't going to get it, so he didn't do it. Now, I don't know, man. I mean, you got budget gaps. If the money is going, if you're going to have a very tight budget and an austerity budget and you need the money, then I understand it. You know, what's amazing, too, is like maybe some of these people, it's an election year, but it's Ike Leggett. He was going to raise taxes. Well, that's what they normally do. They don't raise taxes. Politicians will tell you everything's fine, and then they get elected and they have 4-year buffer, 3-year buffer at least, and then all of a sudden, bam, your taxes are raised again. Well, what's going on is that they've really shortchanged the school system again. And the schools, we talked about the schools, man. You want to keep property values high. You want to keep assessments or the house values high. You got to have your schools. You got to have your schools. They got to be all right. They got to be strong. But, you know, what's going on here now with Larry Hogan cutting funding and Ike Leggett not giving him as much as they want, the schools, they're going to be in a little bit of trouble. You know, they're talking about, they were telling principals to get ready for lack of staff or cuts in staff. And I know a bunch of you out there, it's funny because I've got a bunch of listeners who don't even have kids in school anymore. So they're like, so what? Don't raise my property tax. I moved down here for schools. The schools are the reason why I'm here. But did you know that Montgomery County has a $5 billion operating budget? $5 billion. So we're going to raise the spending by 1.4%, or about $70 million, down from a 4% increase from last year. And 4.8. It's actually, let me get these facts straight. It's $70 million increase, a 4% increase, down from a 4% increase, and 4.8% in fiscal 2014. Leggett's calling this budget a belt-tightening blueprint, a same-services budget, which would close a projected $238 million budget shortfall. You know, the money's got to be in county services. The money's got to be in pensions and health care, et cetera. The money that's being spent, it has to be. Otherwise, I'm not sure where you get $238 million. That's why, you know, I mean, you got to look at the liquor stores also, something like the liquor store services. You're employing county people, so you're going to have health insurance and unions, et cetera. Does the benefits and the wages and the tenure or pensions at the end of when these people retire or put in their 20 years, you know, if they have it, I got to check on that. But does that outweigh the costs of the short-term profits that these Montgomery County liquor stores have? You bring up Montgomery County liquor store, you should hear the groans that go on. People are like, ugh. I talked about this last week, And I really railed on them last week. I railed on this store right on Quince Orchard. Compromised cases, out-of-date beer. You know, you're not being a good partner to your clientele. You're not being a good partner to your the people you're buying from, and you're not being a good partner to the people you're selling from. It's that simple. But with the schools, Leggett's budget allocates $2.3 billion to 154,000 unit school system students, 154,000 students in Montgomery County school system. But this $2.3 billion is the minimum required by state law and $80 million short of the Board of Education's request. $80 million short. Yowza. Yowza. A lot of money, to say the least. I don't know. But, you know, next year we're going to get whacked. We are going to get whacked. Did you hear what I said? We're going to get whacked. Just like that. I mean, they were talking, and the whole thing about it is they're talking about property taxes raising. And the whole, the thing that scares me a little bit is they're not lying about it because they put the word hefty in quotes. Everywhere I've read this so far, hefty increase. Hefty increase. It's a little bit scary. I mean, how much can you try to get back? I don't know. But speaking about that, you know, Montgomery County's got some problems too. This is a story that broke a couple weeks ago, but I'm just getting to it now because I wanted to talk about it. I think it dovetails into a lot of the stuff that we talk about on this program. It's the Marriott hotel chain, the Marriott headquarters. The HQ wants to move out of Bethesda. Now, of course, it's a negotiating ploy. I mean, but they're not supposed to move to 2022, so there's a lot of time. But this way, they start doing it now, and they know they can get it or not get it. At least they could start building or looking for somewhere else with plenty of time and moving so they're not moving overnight. But either way, you know, it's a tax abatement play. I mean, and it's funny because I talked about it again last week. The same issues everywhere across the United States. Tax abatement, school overcrowding. You know, and services and transit. But what Marriott wants, they want to be closer to the metro. They want to have metro accessible because they want to get all the young talent, and the young talent is going back urban. And what do I always say on this program? If you're 23 or 24 years old, why are you living in Montgomery County? Maybe Rockville, maybe Bethesda. I mean, I think you'd have to grow up here. The young people who live here now, or the people who grew up here and went to college elsewhere or to Maryland or somewhere and came back. You know, D.C. has always been foreign. It's amazing how the 19-mile divide is incredible. It's far. It's as far as your eye can see. Because people from this area do not consider D.C. in their realm. It strikes me as odd. Because I can't imagine living outside of New York City and not being part of New York City. The difference here, too, is that a lot of people work outside of Washington, D.C. D.C. was a capital city. Now it's starting to find its feet, starting to be much more business-oriented or attracting business because, again, that's the trend. People want to go back to urban. What we do in Montgomery County is build urban out of farmland from the ground up. Look, a city, downtown Crown. Poof, there you go. Poof, there it is. You know, but they're trying to attract new people. Let's see what they have to say here. Marriott planning to look for new headquarters site. This comes from the Washington Post as well. You know, what's interesting is you should see how many hotel chains are in the D.C. area between Rockville and Bethesda and D.C. They got Hilton, Choice Hotels, Diamond Rock Hospitality, and a bunch of other firms, and as well as Marriott. You know, the Sorensen, who's the president, Arne Sorensen, who's the president of Marriott right now. He's the first non-Marriott to ever run the company. You know, he praised the area's supremely well-educated workforce, which I am part of, I assume, but said in order to attract the best talent, he needs a location that will appeal to young workers. I think it's essential that we be accessible to Metro, and that limits the options, he said. I think with many other things, our younger folks are more inclined to be metro accessible and more urban. That doesn't necessarily mean we'll have to move downtown to Washington, but we will move someplace. The gauntlet has been laid. Marion's leaving. We only got 12 years left. 7 years, excuse me. Maybe six. But anyway, he laid something out. When I talk about dovetailing, what he laid out is Metro accessible. I've talked over and over and over and over on this program about Metro trains. Trains. There is no stigma to trains. People like the train. Even though around here they don't, in Montgomery County, there are numerous times where I could go down to the Verizon Center and I'm like, well, it's not reliable. Let's not take it. Let's drive instead. Really? But I'll tell you one thing. Parking in downtown D.C. is out of control. It's ridiculous. And you can be like, yes, it is, Bruce. It is ridiculous. It's so expensive. What are you, nuts? So expensive? Clark Howard here again. Go onto an application called Parking Panda. Parking Panda. I parked for the Eric Church concert for $6. $6. I will gladly park in a garage for $6. I mean, come on. I was a block and a half away from the Verizon Center, and I parked for $6. They will get you because some of these places close at 12 o'clock, so you better hurry up and get your car out of there before you got to break through a steel wall. But $6. I mean, it almost makes sense. If you're taking your car and you can deal with some of the aggravation, and no one really – this is one of the funny things, too. Oh, it's only $6 to get down there. Yeah, but what about the gas and the wear and tear? No one – only my dad would calculate that. You're like 1 square foot plus 2 square foot. But he would calculate that, the gas and the wear and tear. But, you know, for $6, if you have a car full of people, it's worth it, right? You got 3 people, 4 people, it's worth it to drive down there in the comfort of your own car. But, you know, coming from a New York area or from an urban area, I find the train, I like the train. You know, you can get stuff done. You can read the newspaper. You can listen to music. You can do whatever. You don't have to pay attention to anything until you get to your stop. But that's the urban way, because what I'm saying here is that Life Sciences Center, oh, you're going to do it again, Bruce. Yeah, I mean, these are the issues, and these are the issues that are going to affect you. But that Life Sciences Center, that's supposed to be the end all. It's supposed to bring 100,000 high-paying jobs. Really? Who wrote that? The developer? I mean, there couldn't have been a study saying 100,000 high-paying jobs from the county. It couldn't have been. Because that person should have been fired. But if it's from the developer, of course, 100,000. That's why we got to get our transportation systems. This is why we got to tear up Muddy Branch Road. This is why we got to put in the CCT. We got to get it all together. And I am a public transportation person. I am for it. I love public transportation. But the bus is not working. When the closest to the Life Sciences Center is the Shady Grove, and yet it's 3 or 4 miles away, I don't care how quick your bus is, they still got to stop at red lights. And red lights in Montgomery County can be 5 to 10 minutes long. All right, no hyperbole. 2 to 4 minutes long, and that's for real. They wonder why people run red lights, because you'd be stuck at one. The themes are starting to come together. If you've listened to this program, you're like, ah, I get it, Bruce. But if you're on a bus, if you get off of the metro and then get on a bus to some place that's 2 or 3 miles away, that's a long trip. I don't care if you're going 45. It's a long trip. It's an annoying trip. It's a long enough trip to be on that bus, to wait in the rain, to board that bus, to get off that bus, to make stops on that bus, to be circulated. It's not all these circulators that they have in Baltimore and D.C. or whatever, people use it, but no one really gets on it. It's a great system, but no one gets on it. When I go to Baltimore, I found that orange one because we've been to the MMT Bank Stadium a lot. And I park on the other side of the world, but we can get on the circulator and get down there. Because I'm from the urban aspect. I'm not just a country boy from Montgomery. But really, I mean, that's a stretch. I'm going to spend millions and millions of dollars on the CCT where no one's going to use. I just don't see it. I don't see people taking the bus from the metro trains. You do need buses, but I mean, they're not going to – if you're going to have 100,000 high-paying jobs going to reverse commute from Montgomery – from somewhere into Montgomery County, they're taking their car. again, you know, and it's odd because I keep saying you have to condition people, but this is one of those things that you can't condition. I lived in Westchester County in New York, outside of New York City. They had a Beeline bus system. It was so convoluted because they're trying to make the most out of each bus route that it would take 45 minutes to go 2 miles or 3 miles. Stops here, stops there. Inside Manhattan, I took the bus when I had nothing to do because the bus took forever. I had somewhere to be, I took the subway, took the 2 or the 3. You got somewhere to be around here, you got to take the metro. You're not taking a bus. But they're going to build a whole capital city's transit way, rip up this, rip up that, change the landscape of here and there for something that no one's going to ride. It's going to be a boondoggle. It really is. It's just because it's not in the culture of people here to ride the bus. That's all I'm going to say about that. Mama says, stupid is, stupid does. Build a CCT. That's what she says. The show is called Outside Looking In, and that's what I'm doing right now. My name is Bruce Negrin, and Bruce Negrin is peering over that fence, and I'm looking in. I'm looking in at all these things that Montgomery County has, and I'm telling you what's right and what's wrong. Why? Because I know. How do I know? Because I know better than you. How do I know better than you? Because that's what the Montgomery County Council tells us and thinks. They think they know better than us about everything. You know, I talked about conditioning. This plastic bag ban. Okay, taking me a while. Taking me about a year, to be honest with you, to get used to going to the back of my car to pull out a reusable bag and bring it into Giant or Target or wherever I go. I have a full-fledged use to just getting a bag wherever I go. The thing that bothers me about this, honestly, the one that really bothers me about this is like Subway sandwich shop or these sandwich shops. Subway better start getting some paper because it's annoying and ridiculous to bring out a half-wrapped Subway sandwich from Subway in your hands. They used to put it in that bag so the juices wouldn't leak and stuff like that. They got to figure out a way. Jersey Mike's can do it. Subway do it. You know, adapt to your surroundings. Montgomery County, if they have a bag tax that people don't want to pay 5 cents to put a Subway sandwich in, which I don't, no one wants to anymore. Now they feel like you're going into my wallet. That's how you get people to listen to a law. And I'm for it because the plastic bags can be a waste. You got to recycle them as much as you can. Like I get the Washington Post in double bags, and it's like, oh, really? Double? But the good part about the double bags is when the snow comes, I put the bags on my feet, put my feet inside my boots. Two things about it. If you ever want to keep your feet warm, if you have cold feet, just put plastic bags on them. They say put cayenne pepper in there, but don't do that. When I used to skate on the ponds way back in the day when I was from Moose Jaw, Manitoba, up in Good Soil, Saskatchewan, where I grew up with Ron Greshner. No, but when I used to skate on the ponds for pickup hockey and stuff like that, I put plastic bags over my feet, over my socks and my skates, and it kept them warm. Because you're keeping all the heat in. So anyway, that's a good use for that. But anyway, I'm for a lot of these things that they're talking about, the styrofoam even. But Montgomery County, you know, this is a new word that hasn't really crept up since Teddy Roosevelt's day. Progressive. The progressives. It's a progressive way of thinking. Maryland's a progressive state. I've got to tell you one thing. Progressivism, for the sake of progressivism, is grandstanding. Yeah, that's what I believe. I believe it's grandstanding. And this county council, this guy, George Leventhal, I mean, even when you just look at him, you know this kind of politician. And if anybody's listening to me in New Rochelle, just think of Barry Fertel. I know better than you. I know better than you. You don't need a stop sign here. There's only been 4 accidents. But this guy is using this presidency. You know, I mean, Craig Rice was president last year. It was the first year that I've been down here, so I was getting used to it. But George Leventhal is like, you know, he's like, come. He's like Robert Conrad. Knock this battery off my shoulder. Do it. Do it. Do it. Scotch soda. Do it. I mean, he's taunting you. I know better than you. I'm from Tahoma Park, and, you know, this is where the smart people live. This is where the progressive smart people live. It's my way or the highway. You say, Bruce, how could you talk about Leventhal like this? Because what about Giuliani? It was my way or the highway. Giuliani seemed to be for the greater good. And overall, this is for the greater good. But, I mean, where's this article? Because, I mean, they really, the Montgomery County Council just, I don't think it oversteps its boundaries sometimes. It's just like anything that we want to do to show that we're actually doing something in government is what it's about. You know, we need results. We need something that's high profile that the Washington Post will highlight. That's why we got to do it. What do they have? Now they got this pesticides that they're trying to get rid of because they cause cancer. Well, if that's the case, then they should have done the studies on these fields as well, these rubber fields, these new artificial turf fields, because people think they cause cancer also. But you're all good and willing to put one up in Lakeland's Park without a doubt very quickly. You know, it's too expensive. Let's put this field in. Well, you should have done your research on that too. You know, if you're going to start throwing the word cancer around. Now, people just want a lawn, and these guys are like telling them, no, no, no. Tacoma Park. They passed this ban in 2013. So here are our bans. It has banned trans fats, polystyrene containers from county restaurants, has imposed a nickel tax on plastic shopping bags that can clog streams. And now it's going to be the first locality to try. Oh, it's also outlawed e-cigarettes, wherever traditional tobacco smoking is also prohibited. And now they're going to be trying to get rid of pesticides. You know, commercial-grade pesticides that are sold from Home Depot, not something super special, not DDT. Anyway, Leventhal, George Leventhal, serving his fourth term with an eye on the 2018 county executive's race. Bam, there it is. Has come to embody the council's regulatory zeal. Oh, this is another thing that they did. They also he also passed a bill banning pet stores from selling kittens or puppies from mills, even though there are no such stores in the county's jurisdiction. Well, in case they came, we got to keep them out. Preventative law. Progressivism for progressivism's sake is grandstanding. George Leventhal, you're a grandstander. I can't even stand to look at you. He's got that smiley face. Oh, I know better than you. I know better than you. Not this time, Bubba. We're coming after you. Because I'm a county executive. Just on what you talk about, this high and mighty that you sit on, trying to pick a fight with the Board of Education as well. And this is what I talked about a couple weeks ago when Leventhal wanted to pass $30 million in funds to get the county council's building back in shape because it hasn't been touched since 1940. And the school board is saying, no, we want that money. And he said, well, anytime there's available money, the school board wants it. You know, schmucko, you want to be a politician? Don't fight with a school board. That is the kiss of death. I could tell you that right off the bat. Because the school board is a lot more involved than you are in the everyday lives of moms and dads, of soccer moms, right, if you want to use that term, and hockey dads. Because they'll tell one friend, and they'll tell two friends, and they'll tell three friends, and they'll tell three friends, and they'll tell three friends, like Herbal Essence. You know, I mean, don't pick a fight you can't win. Don't get in a cantankerous yelling match with the Board of Education, whether you like them or not. George, you want to be county executive, don't piss off the Board of Education. Take that from me. That's some free advice. That's being progressive. You know, you're going to be pick little fights. You're going to pick fights with the Boards of Education and tell me you're a progressive? You're a cranky pants, you know? I want what I want, and you can't have it. Want to be my latex salesman? I don't think so.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
George, I'll tell you how you're funny, because you're a schmuck for picking a fight with the Board of Education, even though it's going to blow over. You could see it's in your personality to get like that. Barry Fortell was like that in Neurochelle. You're like that here. I can imagine. I can't wait to meet you, because I could be totally wrong. Totally wrong, but I don't think I'm going to be. Just have that feeling about meeting him, shaking his hand. He's like, oh, yeah, who are you? I'm a resident of Montgomery County. I vote. Oh, okay, fine. We'll see how that comes, see how that works. So I'm reading the newspaper, and this might get you to call in. Business of golf is finding itself stuck in the rough. No roar, rough. was Tiger Woods. I mean, is golf predicated on Tiger Woods? This is what happens to a sport. You can't have anybody bigger than the sport. You can't have one person bigger than a sport and expect it to survive. Mickey Mantle was not bigger than baseball. Wayne Gretzky was not bigger than the institution of hockey. Everybody was on Tiger Woods' bandwagon. And Tiger Woods is another one who wouldn't give you the time of day. So I don't understand why anybody would root for this guy. You know, it's just, my sports heroes are guys who I think are going to be good guys. I've heard that are good guys, if I have sports heroes, which I don't anymore. My sports hero when I was a kid was a guy called Ron Greshner, who I just mentioned before. I've actually got to meet him later in life. Met him at two different functions. Nice enough guy, really. I was glad I liked you, Ron. I'm glad I had your poster on my wall. But Tiger Woods, I mean, money grabbing, money. I mean, yes, talent. No doubt talent. You know, and everybody's, oh, they changed Augusta because, you know, to racism. Please. Please. Nobody, you know, I don't care who it is. You shouldn't be driving greens on, like, 12 of 18 holes. But I don't know. I mean, but Tiger Woods goes down. He hasn't completed a tournament. He hasn't finished a tournament. He's hurt. And he got distracted. Obviously, you know what happened there, but he got hurt and he's distracted. But here's the story. Here's the story that I found funny. Because now golf, you know, golf is a good walk spoiled, as Mark Twain would say. Me, I played golf. You know why I played golf? Because when I worked in the bar, I always had Tuesdays and Wednesdays off, and there was nothing else to do. So I would drop a ball, and I went out, and I lived in Georgia, and I had 19 different golf courses, and I would go out there and play alone. All my friends were working. So I'd go out there, play alone, after I picked up the dry cleaning. That's for you, Eric. So I go out there, and I got good enough that I'd be the fourth. I'd be someone, you know, two guys would go out there, I'd be the third guy, or three guys would go out there, I'd be the fourth. And I'm like, hey, guys, you know, I was the old man. I was shooting like 85 or something. Not that great, but good enough where I couldn't do it now. Now I'm like Homer Simpson. You get me on a golf course, come the 13th hole, I'm like, pizza, donuts. Exactly. Thank you, Homer. But it was fun for a while. But let's see. The business behind one of America's most slow-going times has rapidly begun to fall apart. TaylorMade, the world's biggest maker of golf clubs and clothes, saw sales nosedive 28% last year. 28%. That's a lot. A decline in the number of active players caused immense problems in the entire industry. And as a market leader, that hit us particularly hard, said Adidas chief executive who owns the TaylorMade company. The game, with its drivers, clubs, shoes, and tee times, is expensive both to prepare for and to play. It's difficult dissuading. Amateurs from giving it a swing, and time-consuming, limiting how much fans can play. Time-consuming, no kidding. We used to play on a golf course. They got everybody off. The starter was fantastic because the starter was smart. It was a county course. You could play the first hole, but you couldn't see the second hole. So you're like, oh, we're getting off. We're going to be done in 3 hours, 3.5 hours. Get around that hole. It's Saxon Woods Golf Course. That second hole, it was a backup for 45 minutes. It's like, oh, man. And how is that fun? How is that fun? I mean, you know, I don't want to get up earlier to play a sport than I have to for work. I mean, it's no big surprise. Everybody in the United States is a front runner. That's right. I just called out the whole U.S. You're all front runners, every single one of you. Tiger Woods, I love Tiger Woods. I got to go out there and play golf. Tiger's gone, I'm not going to play golf anymore. Why? Is it because your wife's yelling at you that you can't be gone for 7 hours on a Saturday if you got kids? You don't want to spend time with the kids? Is that what the story is? Golf. Golf's my passion. There are two things that I don't want to talk about in my life. I don't want to tell golf stories, and I definitely don't want to tell golf stories over drinking microbrews. If you want to put me in hell, you just did it. Let's talk about my backswing on the par 4 over at the 18th. Oh, let me get another one of those flat tire ales, please. Speaking of which, right? American lagers. Lagers, not fruity beers or anything. Guinness made an American lager, a blonde lager. That's the one beer that I'm going to go out to try. I want to see how the Irish can make an American lager. I want to see what it tastes like. But they didn't give in to the pressure. They just realized that good beer is good beer. Pilsner, a lager, something like that. Hoppy, IPA. Ugh. I digress into beer talk because I didn't get to go out today. It's St. Patrick's Day. Just because I'm the least Irish guy I know doesn't mean I don't like to drink a beer every once in a while. And I want one. I want one. But yeah, golf is by the wayside. Is that a big surprise? Is it really a big surprise? It is expensive. It takes up your whole day. And everybody, you know, golf stores. Oh, you know, and there was nothing cheap about it. And then golf balls, let alone, the best part about golf is the old men who collect the golf balls that are in the woods. And they pop out of nowhere and surprise the hell out of you. Like, you're looking for your ball and like, hey, who are you? You want to buy a golf ball? Dollar a piece there, young man. Dollar a piece there, guy. How about it? How about it? Dollar a piece? I think that's the my ball. No, it's not your ball. It's not your Titleist. It says Bruce Negrin on it. Give me my damn ball. You old man, I'll come out here with a club and smack you. Best part about golf, too, is the when they have the cart path. You can only stay on the cart path. Talk about slowing the game down. It's like, all right, I'm not going to lie to you. I used to walk with my bag. I'm not a tough guy anymore. I get a pull cart. If I'm playing, I like to get a pull cart. Because, first of all, I'm much more involved in the game. You're not worried about driving. You're not worried of waiting for your partner or whatever. You get your pull cart, you can go where your ball is. And you can bring every club. I am not good enough to know that I need a 4-iron or a 7-iron. I'm not good enough. I need them all. I need all my clubs. And I want them close to me. So when I pull out the 7 and realize I'm going to try to hit it off a tree, and that's a dumb move, and so I get my 4 just to knock it out, I don't want to have to walk back to the cart and get everything. Just slow it down some more. Torturous. Torturous they make it. And the golf carts. You know, everybody wants to drive the golf cart. I'm surprised more people don't die in golf carts. It's like Jackass out there, the movie. Everybody bumping each other and stuff like that. And one of my favorite golf stories, you know, and I'm really not a tough guy, but every once in a while something gets my goat and I just lose my mind, I guess. I mean, I'm not one of these to fly off the handle usually, but nothing bothers me when just talk, blustery talk. I was in Atlanta, Georgia. I was with a good friend, Ken Heidelberger. And I told you I was playing a lot. And at this particular time, I could really bow up. I mean, I was hitting the ball close to 280, 300 yards. Legit. I could get you people to call up and tell you 280, 290, let's say that. I mean, I could drive some greens. And they knew it. Everybody knew I could. Because every time I hit the ball really far, I just throw my club in the air and walk away. I'm not the guy you want to play golf with. My favorite thing to do is on golf carts is to unstrap bags and have them fall off when you start driving away. It makes me laugh. If you're in your backswing, I'm hitting the reverse. Beep! That's why you shouldn't have a golf cart. I can't keep my head straight with that. So anyway, I hit a ball, and there's no way it should have come close. Everybody else hit before me, and they're a good, I guess, 60 yards. 65 yards short of the group that was playing in front of us. I mean, the people you didn't even have to yell for. You didn't have to say anything, do anything. So I get up there, and I hit my drive. It wasn't even a drive. It was a long fairway. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to choke on this one like I normally do. You know, good golfers put together 4 strokes in a row. I can't. So I go out there, I bow up, nail it. Nail it. These guys are on the green putting. And the ball lands on the green. And you know what you get? Hey, what the hell are you doing? What the hell? What the hell? And I'm like, I yelled sorry about 15 times. They should have seen where I was standing. It was the greatest shot of all time for me. Not of all time. Maybe Bobby Jones might have hit one of those. Maybe Jack Nicklaus. But I don't know. Maybe it was the greatest shot of all time. I don't want to sell myself short. Surely I won't. Don't call me Shirley. But anyway, I hit the ball, and they're yelling and screaming and all this stuff. They finish up, and what do? They wait for us at the green. They wait for us at the green. And they're like, what the hell are you doing, man? You could have killed us, blah, 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 blah. And finally, I'm like, I said I'm sorry. I mean it. I'm sorry. I just hit a ball 300 yards, which I didn't even expect to do. Look where I was standing. No, man, that's not cool what you did. That's not cool. And they keep going on and on and on and on and on. Finally, I go to my bag because I'm getting my putter, and I just like, are we going to fight or are we not going to fight? Because if we're not going to fight, I'm done apologizing, all right? I'm done apologizing. Move on. The guys I were with, I guess they must have been bigger than me. So it was an interesting story. The foursome I was with. But the guys, it's like I sort of shut them up. It's like they just wanted to yell and scream. After a while, I was like, we could either talk or we could fight. If we're going to fight, let's just do it. You know, because I was done apologizing. There are only so many times you can apologize until and be sincere about it. So finally, it's like, screw you. I'm not apologizing anymore. So these guys backed away. So like, just don't do it again, man. Okay, just don't hit a 300-yard 2-iron. Okay, I'll make sure not to do it. I'll try not to do it. Unbelievable people sometimes. Unbelievable. Now, this is one other golf story I got to tell you. Even though I told you that I don't like talking about golf, none of this has to do with golf. This has to do with life. I used to play with two police officers in Atlanta. We played in this course, Brown Station or something. I don't even remember where it was. But it was a bad – people used to get robbed on the greens. It was in a bad part of Atlanta. And these two cops were off-duty cops who used to work at Lulu's. You know, in Georgia, you have to have a police officer at your door, an off-duty police officer in uniform at your door. That's part of the liquor control. So we had these guys, Ty and Beebe, and big boys. I mean, big Georgia, Cobb County, Alpharetta boys. You know, hey, man, the Alma. Loved them, though. Really good guys, got us out of trouble numerous times just inside the bar, you know, and they took no junk and they gave a lot of junk. And they were funny and they were personable. So anyway, they're like, Bruce, why don't you come golfing with us? I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. So I get out there, I'm with them, we're out there to pay, and these guys would wear their guns everywhere they went. They always wore their guns on their hip. I'm like, how could you play with your gun on your hip? They're so used to wearing their guns that it didn't matter. So anyway, we get to the starter, or we get to pay, and the guy says, oh, Ty, Beebe, how you doing? Who's this guy? Well, this is Bruce. He's with us. He's a cop, too. Okay, guys, go out there. No problem. So I didn't have to pay. I'm a cop. You know, it's like, okay, I'll take advantage of that. Well, because Serpico's not around. But I'll take advantage of that. I go out there with them. We're playing the holes. We're doing all this stuff. We're out by the 16th hole. I don't even remember where. But the course manager comes over. He runs over, and he's, like, in his golf cart. He's speeding down the highway. He's like, someone just got robbed on the 12th hole. Someone just got robbed. Guys, you got to come. You got to come. So Ty and Beebe jump into their golf cart. They run after him, run after this guy, and they're going. And I'm sitting there like, oh, my God. They're going to go catch a perpetrator, right? An alleged perpetrator. And what am I going to do? So I'm sitting there and in the golf cart. And so the course manager's like, how come you're not going to back him up? You should be backing him up. How come you're not going backing him up? And I'm like, uh-oh, I'm busted. And the greatest line that ever to be said on short notice, improvised, came right off of my head. I said, well, in case they run the guy this way, I'm here. I could catch him coming this way. And the guy bought it hook, line, and sinker. And he took off. I was like, oh, my God, please don't let this guy come my way. Don't let him come my way. That was really funny. Well, in case he runs this way, I could tackle him and cut him off. I don't have a gun. I don't have anything. I had a 2-iron. I couldn't even hit that. So anyway, this is Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negri. We've got about 26 seconds left in the program. I want to thank you for listening. One day you got to get up off your couch and call because you know you want to be heard. The phone number, write it down, is 773-897-6423. Hey, do me something. Do me a favor, right? Do something today that will make it better tomorrow. I will talk to you next week.
No, you're